Begin with a Mishnah in Maseches Brachos Daf Chaf, where the Mishnah tells us, Nashim ba'avanim uktanim, when you have women who are talking about what they're obligated to do and what they might not be obligated to do. Now, last week or 2 weeks ago, we spoke about various mitzvahs that are exemptions for women to perform. For example, any time-bound mitzvah, what we call a mitzvah sasei shehazman grama, we assume women are not obligated. So we have 248 mitzvahs. We have 248 positive commandments. We have 365 negative commandments. There were some who were expressing concern over the fact why we assume that women are not obligated in the mitzvah sasei shehazman grama. Let's just put it all in perspective. We have 248 mitzvah sasei. How many would you say are exempt? Are women exempt from of those 248? Any guesses? What? 10? What would you say? 200. Right? I think most people think it's more like 200, and we're talking about a category of mitzvahs that women are not obligated to do. The answer is 6, perhaps 7. That's the whole story. So, women and men are obligated in almost all mitzvahs in the Torah, and the question is, 6 or 7 are debatable whether we assume that women are obligated to perform those or not. Here, the Mishnah tries to talk about what's the story with tefillah. So the Mishnah tells us that when it comes to Kriya Shema, surprisingly, women are not obligated to perform the mitzvah of reciting Kriya Shema every day, because that is a classic case of a mitzvah saseh shehazman grama. Kriya Shema has to be said every morning, every evening, and women are obviously not obligated in a mitzvah which is a time-bound mitzvah. And min hatfilin, women are not obligated and perhaps not permitted. That's a different discussion about wearing tefillin. However, when it comes to tefillah, says the Mishnah, when it comes to women's obligation in davening, we say chayavim mitfila, women are obligated to daven, uve mezuzah, women have an obligation to put up a mezuzah on their door, on their home, uve birchas hamazon, and women have an obligation to recite birchas hamazon after they eat something that requires them to do so. Now, I would have said that birchas hamazon is something that perhaps women should not be obligated to do, because you only have a very specific time frame of when you're allowed to bench. One is only allowed to bench when we're talking about a situation where you're still within 72 minutes of when you ate the bread. So I could have said, Birchas HaMazon is a time-bound mitzvah, but yet we say women are obligated in Birchas HaMazon, just like men are. So the Gemara picks up on this comment, and the Gemara says, I don't really understand. Why should we say that women are obligated in tefillah? Don't we know that tefillah also has very specific parameters of when you're allowed to daven? For example, in the morning, there's a sof zman tefillah. You're not allowed to daven all morning, all afternoon. You're only allowed to daven shacharis up until a certain point. Mincha can only be davened up until the shkia. Maariv can only be davened until a certain time in the evening, and certainly you can't go past the morning. So we have something here which is clearly a mitzvah sasei shehazman grama. It's clearly a time-bound mitzvah, and yet we assume women are obligated to do that. This is not my question. This is the Gemara's question. The Gemara has here a number Aleph in the first entry. At the last word on the line, the Gemara says, you're right. Derachameinu, since tefillah is our expression of asking the Ribbono Shel Olam, of asking God for His rachmanus, of asking God for His mercy, therefore women are obligated to do that equally as the men. In fact, the Prima Gadim writes in Shulchan Aruch, in his commentary in the Psicha to Hilchos Tefillah, in his introduction to tefillah, the Prima Gadim writes, Atu gavri ba'al lehispalal ala lechem ve'ala bayim ve'lo nashi? Do you think only men are the ones who have a deficiency in life, that they don't have a parnasa, and they don't have what to eat, and they don't have what to drink, and only the men are the ones who need a refuah? The women don't have any needs? It cannot be, says the Prima Gadim. This is why we assume that women have the equal obligation to daven, the same way men do, because it is rachame, because it is their way of expressing their needs, of asking for what it is that they're deficient in life, and therefore we assume women share that obligation. Says the Gemara further, second line on the first entry, Mahu detema, I would have said, Ha'aluk sivba, since it says, with regard to davening, Erev avoker v'tzaharayim, it says davening has to be done morning, afternoon, and evening. K'mitzvah saseh shehazman grama dami, therefore I should consider it like a time-bound mitzvah, because after all, there are very limited times when one is allowed to daven either of these three tefillos. Says the Gemara, kamashmalan. Kamashmalan, a code word to mean, our assumption was incorrect. Now the question is, why was our assumption incorrect? Okay, so the Gemara says, our assumption is not correct that it's a time-bound mitzvah. Why is our assumption not correct? How is that to be understood? And this is a major point of disagreement amongst the Rishonim. The Rambam comes to the conclusion that this is not a time-bound mitzvah. How can it be it's not a time-bound mitzvah? Don't we know that you have very specific times for Shachris, Mincha, and Maariv? So what does it mean when the Gemara says our assumption was incorrect? Says the Rambam, what it means is as follows. A person has an obligation to daven once a day, every day. Doesn't matter when, doesn't matter what. We don't have any specifics of what they have to say or when they have to say it, and therefore, says the Rambam, this is not considered a time-bound mitzvah. Anyone who doesn't have a source sheet, please raise your hand. We just got some extra copies. Thank you. Thank you. So the Rambam understands this Gemara to mean that this is not a time-bound mitzvah because one is not limited to what has to be said or when it has to be said. A tefillah can be offered at any point in the day or night, and any nusach, any variation of a tefillah is good enough. It doesn't have to be the text of the Shemona Esrei. It could be anything that a person chooses. That would suffice for the mitzvah of tefillah every day. And therefore, says the Rambam, since this is not a time-bound mitzvah, since we are not limited, strictly speaking, to any specific time of what we say or how we say it or when we say it, therefore the Rambam assumes women share the obligation as men do because this is something that is not dependent on time at all. At least once a day, every day, they must recite a tefillah. It can be as short or as long as possible, and therefore, says the Rambam, women have the obligation equally as men. This is where the idea comes from. The Magen Avraham writes that there are many women who just are too busy during the day, and what they do is they just say one very short tefillah. It doesn't have to be in the text of a Shemona Esrei. There are women who choose to say some kind of tefillah, and they feel that that's good enough. That all stems from the opinion of the Rambam. In the Rambam's understanding of our Gemara, that one tefillah, as long as we express ourselves in some way, as long as we let out and show that we have some kind of need, that we have something that we're deficient in our lives, that is going to enough, that will suffice for the obligation of tefillah that we have every day of our lives. That's where that comes from. If one is a Svardiya, if one is a person who follows the Svardic tradition, so we assume generally the Svardim follow the Rambam, they follow the opinion of the Shulchan Aruch, and therefore for Svardim this is a very relevant halacha. Because according to the Svardim, according to the Shulchan Aruch, according to the Rambam, a woman really does not have an obligation to daven the tefillos as we know them. She just has an obligation to daven once a day, every day. It is not a time-bound mitzvah. However, the overwhelming opinion of the Rishonim is not like the Rambam. And this is why basically most Ashkenazim have adopted opinion which is not that of the Rambam. That's the opinion of Rashi, the opinion of the Rambam, the opinion of many others, who understand this Gemara very differently. Our Gemara says, this is a time-bound mitzvah. Why should women be obligated? And the answer, explains the Ramban, is yes, it's a time-bound mitzvah, but this is an exception to the rule. It's a time-bound mitzvah that women are obligated to perform equally as men because, rachameninu, because after all, the women also have that need to express themselves to the Ribbono Shel Olam. They also have that need to show that there's what that they're lacking in life and there's what that they ask the Ribbono Shel Olam for. They share the obligation because they too need to have this in life. They are also deficient in many ways. And therefore, says Rashi and the other Rishonim, we assume that women share the obligation equally to men because even though this is a time-bound mitzvah, this is something that we need to make sure we have time to do every day. Let's look at the Rambam in number Beis. The Rambam puts it down for us very simply. Mitzvah saseh lehispalel b'chol yom. We have a mitzvah saseh, a biblical commandment to daven every day, shenemar, as the Pasuk says, va'avadetem es Hashem elokeichem. You have to serve Hashem. Mipi ha'shmua lamdu. The Chachamim suggested that what does it mean when we say va'avadetem es Hashem elokeichem? That means, she'avodahi tefillah. That when we talk about the avoda that we're obligated to do, that means our expression of tefillah, shenemar la'avda b'chalavavchem. Ve'ein l'tefillah zman kavua min ha-Torah, says the Rambam. Tefillah does not have a defined time during the day when it's supposed to be performed. In Halacha Beis, the Rambam says, because we assume that tefillah does not have a defined moment in the day when you have to do it, therefore, says the Rambam, lefikach nashim chayav mitfila. Therefore, women are obligated to daven the same as men, lefi shehi mitzvah saseh shelo hazman grama, says the Rambam. This is not time-bound, and therefore, women share the obligation. This is the way the Shulchan Aruch assumes as well, like the Rambam. Shulchan Aruch very often goes along with the opinion of the Rambam. So in Hilchos Tefillah, Siman Kuvav, the Shulchan Aruch says, my opinion is like the Rambam and the Rif, that women have an obligation to daven once a day, every day. We don't care what is said, we don't care when it is said, and therefore it's not a time-bound mitzvah. Women have the obligation to do that once a day. As we mentioned, women from Ashkenazic descent generally follow the opinion of the Mishnah Berurah, who follows the opinion of the Ramban and Rashi and other Rishonim, that women have an obligation to daven every day like men do. And women have that obligation to daven not only Shacharis, but Mincha would be the same as well. The Mishnah Berurah writes very clearly, there's no reason to assume that women should be exempt from Mincha. Yes, it's a time-bound mitzvah, but it's something that women also have to express their needs during the day, and therefore the Mishnah Berurah writes, Shachris HaMincha, absolute obligation. Ma'ariv is the only one that's questionable. The Mishnah Berurah writes, maybe Ma'ariv women are not obligated to perform. Aruch HaShulchan disagrees. He says he doesn't understand why Ma'ariv should be any different. Once we've accepted as a community to daven Ma'ariv, so then why should women not have to daven Ma'ariv as well? Again, so you can quibble about the details about Ma'ariv, but Shachris HaMincha for Ashkenazim is generally assumed to be an absolute obligation. Now, it's an absolute obligation, and it's something that I think many people are probably wondering, how can that be? How can that be? We're obligated to daven Shachris, we're obligated to daven Mincha, many of us might not be aware, so we'll talk about that in a few minutes, about what if a person is busy. Because the Mishnah Berurah and many others assume that Ashkenazic women have an absolute obligation to daven 3 times a day or 2 times a day, certainly, so therefore the halacha is, let's say yesterday, I don't know how many people, I was at a Levaya in the White Jewel yesterday, and the Levaya took a lot longer than expected. It started much later, I'm not sure why, when I was supposed to daven. Or you go to a wedding on a Sunday, and it turns out that you're so busy with the wedding, by the time you leave, you don't realize it's a Sunday afternoon, you miss the whole Zman for Mincha, what are you supposed to do? So the Shulchan Aruch says that if a person forgets to daven a tefillah, not because they neglected to daven, but because they were busy with the chasana, with something else, and they just, it didn't dawn upon them that they were supposed to daven, by the time they came out, the Zman was already over. So the Shulchan Aruch, quoting the Gemara Brachas, writes, you have the opportunity to make up that mitzvah. Now, we don't generally have make-up opportunities for every mitzvah that we do. If a person doesn't have the chance to eat matzah on the night of the Seder, you don't have a make-up the next day. That's it. You missed it, you missed it. But here, the Shulchan Aruch quotes the Gemara that if a person misses a tefillah because they were an ones or a shogeg, because they forgot or they slept through it or they didn't realize, so we assume that you have a make-up. When is that make-up? By the next Zman tefillah, by the next tefillah, we assume you're allowed to daven 2 Shmona Esreis. You're allowed to daven 2 Shmona Esreis. The first Shmona Esrei that you daven is for the tefillah that you're obligated to do now. The second one is meant to be retroactive for the one that you missed. So that's generally what we assume in Shulchan Aruch. If a person misses a tefillah, you have a makeup by the next tefillah. Let's say by Ma'ariv you forgot, and you don't remember to do the makeup, so then it's too late. By Shachris the next morning, you can't make up the mincha that you missed. You have to only do it by the next tefillah, that's the opportunity. So says the Mishnah Berurah, quoting the Machatzis HaShekel, because we assume that women are obligated like men in this mitzvah of tefillah, shachris, and mincha, therefore, says the Mishnah Berurah, what if a woman, not because she's busy in the house and doing things that are very important, but because simply she forgot to daven shachris in the morning, or she forgot to daven mincha, and she has every obligation to daven shachris or mincha, says the Mishnah Berurah, a woman has the obligation to do the makeup. Why does she have the obligation to do the makeup? Because since she was obligated in that tefillah, and for no good reason, she didn't daven it. Again, we're emphasizing the point, for no good reason. If it was for a good reason, because she was taking care of her family, not that she was just doing things on her own and leisurely neglecting to daven, but because she was doing something that is of very important, very great importance, therefore we assume if the woman forgets to daven shachris and mincha, the Mishnah Berurah writes, she should do the makeup tefillah by the next Zman tefillah. So that's an important halacha to be aware of as well. Not only are women obligated to daven shachris and mincha, certainly, and perhaps ma'ariv, but if they forget to daven one of those tefillahs, they neglected, so then in a case like that, we assume the woman should do a makeup tefillah the same way a man would do a makeup tefillah. So this is something that we should be aware of, because it's something that is very important. So again, as we started, yeah.
So do you say the mincha, if you forgot mincha, mm-hmm. or whatever you forgot, do you say the same Shmona Esrei twice? I mean, whether it's the mincha or shachris, I mean, you insert different things, different. Well, the mincha you say is certain, you know, you say the mincha part, you know.
It's not, I don't think there's such a difference between mincha and ma'ariv, you mean? Shachris and mincha is also the same. Just Sim Shalom Shalom Rav.
Okay, so
right, that's the only difference.
Okay,
but
so you
daven 2 of the Shmona Esreis of that time period that you're up to then. So now we've framed our discussion that the Shulchan Aruch and the Gemara says clearly that women are not obligated to recite Kriya Shema every day because that's a mitzvah saseh shas mangrama. If the women so choose to do that, obviously kol hakavod, it's great. But they're not obligated to do that. So if a person only has a few minutes to daven in the morning, they should just daven Shmona Esrei and forget about the Kriya Shema, even though it's important, Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shamayim, accepting all the old mitzvahs on ourselves is a very important thing to do, but Kriya Shema is secondary to the Shmona Esrei itself. Shmona Esrei, we said, women have to daven. What about Psukei DeZimra? where does Psuka de Zimra fall into this equation? So what would you say? Psuka de Zimra is all the introductory paragraphs before we get up to the Shema and the Shemona Esrei. I would have said, since Psuka de Zimra is supposed to be recited during the time frame of davening, and for that matter we assume the Shulchan Aruch writes, what if a person walks in, let's say I come to shul late, and by the time I get to shul and get ready for davening, they're ready up to Baruch Hu. So I missed the whole Psuka de Zimra. It could happen. It could happen. So the Shulchan Aruch says one is supposed to, if they have time, they should say Baruch Sha'amar and Yishtabach, and then go straight into Birchas Kriya Shema, and then Daven Shemona Esrei with the Tzibur. But let's say I don't even have time for that. I miss everything. They're up to Baruch Hu right when I walk in. Either I can start with them right now, Baruch Hu, and carry through the rest of davening, or I can try to mumble the Psuka de Zimra and catch up as best as I can, and then be off with the Tzibur. So the answer is, the Shulchan Aruch says, it's best to be aligned with the Tzibur, and after davening is over, one does not have the right to recite Baruch Sha'amar and Yishtabach. That, the Shulchan Aruch says, that would be a bracha levatala, because that's supposed to be recited before. So Baruch Sha'amar and Yishtabach, since those have brachos embedded in them, you're not allowed to say those afterward. However, the rest of the halalukas and all the other things that we say in the Psuka de Zimra, those are supposed to be recited after the davening is over. So if a person gets into shul again, let's say you come to shul and you're trying to make sure that you're aligned with where the tzibur, where the congregation is up to, we assume that one should leave out the Psuka de Zimra. They should, after davening is over, they should recite the Psuka de Zimra, except for Baruch Sha'amar and Yishtabach, because those have brachos embedded within them. So it would seem to be an indication that since tefillah is something that includes Psuka de Zimra, and Psuka de Zimra has to be said along with the davening, I would say that's a mitzvah saseh shehazman grama. And a mitzvah saseh shehazman grama, something that's a time-bound mitzvah, you don't have an obligation to perform as a woman. And therefore, we should have said that women are not obligated to recite Psuka de Zimra, because the only reason we Ashkenazim believe that women are obligated to daven Shemona Esrei, even though it's a time-bound mitzvah, the only reason we assume that way is because, yes, it's a time-bound mitzvah, but it's their way of expressing their needs to the Ribbono Shel Olam, Rachamei Ninu, like the Gemara says. But Psuka de Zimra, which is not an expression of our needs at all, what is Psuka de Zimra comprised of? Shevach, it's just our expressing our gratitude, it's our expressing our awareness of how great the Ribbono Shel Olam is, how much He provides our world with. That is not an expression of our asking for anything, therefore we should go back to the original din, which is that women should be exempt from reciting Psuka de Zimra. Does that sound logical? So that's what I would have assumed. However, that's not correct. That is not correct. Women are obligated in Psuka de Zimra. Again, how much Psuka de Zimra a woman has to say doesn't mean you have to say every part of Psuka de Zimra. If you have time, you absolutely should. But if a person is rushed for time, so Psuka de Zimra is something that's important to add into the Shemona, add into the davening. And I would argue that Psuka de Zimra, if you have only a limited amount of time, Rabbi Kiva Eger actually argues, it's not my argument, Rabbi Kiva Eger argues if a woman only has a limited amount of time to daven, and you can say Shemona Esrei plus, says Rabbi Kiva Eger, it would be better to say Shemona Esrei and Psuka de Zimra and skip Kriya Shema than to say Kriya Shema and not say Psuka de Zimra, and we'll explain that in a minute. Let's see what that should be the case. We have Psuka de Zimra at the beginning of our davening. What is that all about? That's all about, if you look in number Gimel, a Gemara and Brachas on that vav. In Gemara and Brachas, we learn from a pasuk Lishmoa el harina ve'el hatfila. This is one of the highlights of our davening during the Slichos period, during Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. We say that Hashem is Shomea el harina, He listens to the rina ve'el hatfila, and to the prayer. What does that mean? What is the difference between rina and tefila? Says the Gemara as follows, Bimakom rina, what it means is, when you have a situation where there is rina, now you'll notice, by the way, rina here is spelled how? My wife's name is rina. How are you supposed to spell rina? The answer is without a yud. That's the way the pasuk spells it. So here, bimakom rina, the Gemara says, where you have rina that's being expressed, which means when you're expressing a thanksgiving to the Ribbono Shel Olam, when you're extolling the virtues of the Ribbono Shel Olam, Shamte tefila. That should be followed by a bakasha, by a tefila, by asking for something. So that's what the Gemara teaches us, and this is what we learn. Rashi says there, bebeis haknesses, when a person is in shul, or for that matter, even if one is at home. Shasham omrim hatzibur shiras vitishbachas b'ne'imas kol arev, that we recite all kinds of praises to the Ribbono Shel Olam. That makes sense that after we do that, we should follow up with the bakasha, with the tefila, with that which we need. And the Gemara fleshes this out a little bit more, about 30 daf later in Brachas. The Gemara in the fourth entry here, number Dalid, is a Gemara in Brachas daf Lamed Beis, where we're told, La'olam yisader adam shivcha shal makom, V'achar kach yisbala. A person should first be misader shivcho shamakam. You should first extol the virtues and express those great praises of the Ribbono shel Olam. V'achar kach yisbala. And only after that should you offer your tefillah. How do we know this is true? Because Moshe Rabbeinu, when he wants, what's the one thing Moshe Rabbeinu wants in his life? He wants to go into Eretz Yisrael, and he's davening and he's pleading. How does he start off his davening? He says, "Atah ilos alaharis havdecha." He's sort of like buttering up. He says, "Look, we saw all the miracles that you did, and we were there by Yitzias Mitzrayim, and we watched that you took us through the Yamsuf, and we watched as you took care of us in the Midbar." And after all of his praises, then he says, "Evra neva era." Now, bottom line, this is what I want. Let me into Eretz Yisrael after I've said how much I owe you, how much thankfulness, how much gratitude I have for all that you've done, and how much shvach I owe you. Now I ask you, please listen to my tefillah. So we learn from none other than Moshe Rabbeinu that the appropriate way to daven is for a person to introduce the tefillah by first saying the shvach, by first saying the praise of the Ribbono shel Olam, and then to follow that up with the tefillah, with the bakasha itself. If you look in the Zohar HaKadosh writes in number Hay as follows. Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Chizkiya hayu holchim liras es Rabbi Shimon bekaput kaya. So you had two great tzaddikim who were going to travel to visit another one of their contemporaries. Amar Rabbi Chizkiya. So there they are. Their minds are wandering. They're in the middle of trying to make it and make sure they don't get lost on their way to wherever they were going. So one of them turns to his friend and he says, Zesha nachnu omrim. This that we say in the Gemara in Brachos, La'olam yisader adam shivcho shal adono v'achar kach yispalo tfilaso. This that we say that a person should first extol the virtues of the Ribbono shel Olam and only afterwards should they offer a tefillah. What would you say, Mishalibo Tarud? What would you say, let's say me? Here I am, I'm trying to drive the car, I'm trying to pay attention to where it is that I'm going. I'm going to daven the Shemona Esrei when we stop on the side of the road at the gas station, but now I can say Psukah Dezimra. I'm only going to have 3 minutes at the gas station. So would you say, someone like me, who's Libo Tarud, my mind is in a different direction, my heart is not here, should I say Psukah Dezimra? Does it make sense? And he says, Verotu l'hispalo tfiloso. I have in mind that I'm going to daven Shemona Esrei. Oshehu betzora. Let's say I'm in a very precarious situation, and I cannot properly say the Psukah Dezimra. Mahu, what would you say for a person like me? Is it worth just saying the Psukah Dezimra just as they are? Amar la Rabbi Yossi, his friend responds to him, Afo pi she'eino yachal lechavinas alei v'haratzon. Even if a person is not able, for whatever circumstance it is, if a person is not able to say Psukah Dezimra with full kavana, with full intent, Lama yigara seder shivcho shel Ribbono. Why should God lose out? Again, when you're asking for a bakasha, when you're asking him for something, you have to put your all into it. You want it, you got to put your heart out for it. When you're just praising the Ribbono shel Olam and singing his praises, shall we say, so why do we assume that just because your mind is not here, you shouldn't recite it? Why should God lose out? So Psukah Dezimra, here the Zohar HaKadosh writes, is something that should be recited even if a person finds himself in a situation where they won't be able to have absolute kavana. It doesn't mean this is what we should aim for. We should try to have kavana when we say Psukah Dezimra, but here we assume that Psukah Dezimra is important. Now just hold on to the question for a minute. If you look in the next entry, the Zohar HaKadosh writes even further. Ata, as we know, hatfila hi b'makam karban. Nowadays that we view tfila as being in the place of our offering karbanos on the Beis HaMikdash, Vitzarech Adam Lisader Tchila Shivcho Shamakam Karoi. A person has to be careful that they first have this introductory paragraph to the davening, which is that elongated Psukah Dezimra that we have in our Sidurim. Vim Eino Misader Shivcho, if a person does not first recite some kind of praise to the Ribbono Shel Olam, Tfilaso Eino Tfila. Your Tfila is incomplete. So over here, we have a Gemara, we have the Zohar HaKadosh, and we have this quoted in Shulchan Aruch as well, that a person should say the Psukah Dezimra because the Psukah Dezimra is in some way an introduction to the Shemona Esrei itself. That's the way we learn from Moshe Rabbeinu. In order to have a meaningful tefillah, in order to have the best chance of our tefillah being answered, the person is supposed to first extol the virtues, sing the praises of the Ribbono Shel Olam, and follow that by having an opportunity to ask for what it is that they need. If you think about it, we have Birchas HaMazon. So we bench. Not everybody says the Harachamans after benching. Obviously we're supposed to. But for those of us who do, so you think about the list of Harachamans that we say. What does it mean? Harachaman. The merciful one. Who? Yifarna Seder B'chavod, right? We ask, the merciful one, can you please provide us with a parnasa that's going to be a respectable one? Not like the rabbinate, right? You ask for something, a respectable parnasa. So that's what we say. We ask all these Harachamans. Harachaman who? Yizakenu? Limos HaMashiach, we ask, you are the merciful one, please bring us to the days of Mashiach. I skipped over the first three harachamans that we say. Just think about it. I don't know how many of us may have thought about this before. I didn't think about it before I saw it yesterday. What does this mean? We start off the harachamans. Harachaman, the merciful one. Hu yimloch aleinu li'olam va'ed. What is that? How do you translate those words? And not he should. Harachaman hu yimloch. We're not asking for anything. You are the one who rules over us forever. A statement. Harachaman hu yizbarach b'shamayim v'varetz. Statement. You are the one who is the merciful one, and you are praised in the whole world. Shamayim v'varetz. Sing your praises. Harachaman hu yishtabach l'dodorim. You are the one who will be praised forever. What are we doing? The answer is, the Otzer HaTfilas writes, the reason why we introduce the harachamans by these three statements is because if you want to then ask harachaman hu yifarnasena b'chavod, you want to ask harachaman hu yivarech as this one or that one, you want to ask harachaman hu yizakenu limos hamashiach, you want to have a meaningful tefillah, the way to do that is by introducing the praise of our Kadosh Baruch Hu first. So you first say harachaman hu yimloch aleinu li'olam v'ed. We praise you because you're the one that has ruled over the world, the cosmos, the universe forever. Number two, Harachaman Yisbarach b'shamayim v'aretz. We praise you because you are the one who is praised all over in the heavens and in the earth. Harachaman who everything else, and then we get into all the bakashas that we have. Then we ask, now that we've extolled all your virtues, now that we have in some way expressed our shvach that we owe to you, we've some way expressed your incredible majesty in this world and how much the world owes in its praise to you. Now we can say, after that introduction, all the things that we personally ask for. It's the same way we have Psukah de Zimra that leads up into the davening itself. So this is, again, if you think about Psukah de Zimra and exactly what it means, if a woman is obligated in tefillah itself, because tefillah is the way of bakashas rachamim, it's a way of a person asking for what it is that they're deficient in life, asking for what it is that they need in life, then it follows that Psukah de Zimra is part of that obligation as well. Psukah de Zimra is something that a woman should say because she also needs to introduce that tefillah by saying the shvach, by extolling the virtues of the Ribbono Shel Olam in order to make that tefillah a more meaningful one. That's why we assume generally that Psukah de Zimra is something that women have an obligation to say. This is what the Mishnah Berurah writes in Siman Ayin. The Mishnah Berurah says that women should try their best to say the Psukah de Zimra. And in fact, the Mishnah Berurah proves it. He proves, how do we know that Psukah de Zimra is really an integral part of the Shemona Esrei itself? How do we know that it's like an introductory paragraph? Says the Mishnah Berurah as follows. It's a very interesting proof. He says, because what's the halach of a person walks into shul and they're up to Baruch Hu? What do we say? You cannot go after davening and recite Baruch Shamar and Yishtabach because those are perhaps a bracha levatala. So says the Shulchan Aruch, says the Mishnah Berurah, you don't have a right to say Baruch Shamar and Yishtabach afterward because Psukah de Zimra is supposed to be introductory. However, he writes, what if a person forgets Talamata or Yalav Yavo, now you have to daven again? Right? Person forgets Talamata, Masav Aruch, Yalav Yavo, now you have to daven Shmona Esrei again. We know that to be the case. Says the Mishnah Berurah, you have to say Psukah de Zimra again. And if you miss Psukah de Zimra the first time, no, again, we don't assume that way because most of us say the Psukah de Zimra the first time, so then all you missed is the Shmona Esrei. However, Mishnah Berurah writes, if a person walked into shul and they're all tzeflugin in their head, and they didn't realize what was going on. They missed the whole Psukah de Zimra. Now they davened Shmona Esrei. They forgot Talamata or Yalav Yavo, whatever it might be. Says the Mishnah Berurah, after davening is over, and you now have to repeat Shmona Esrei, you should repeat Baruch Shamar and Yishtabach as well. Why? What do you mean? You're not allowed to say Psukah de Zimra after davening? The answer is no. This is the introduction to davening. If you have to daven again, and you haven't yet said the Psukah de Zimra, you should say it now. Because if you're going to daven again, this is the greatest way to introduce a tefillah to make it most meaningful and most powerful. Questions? Yes?
Would that apply to Tashlumen then?
Tashlumen.
Meaning, the woman back here said if you missed a tefillah, it was meant for time, so you have to make up for Shacharis.
So that's a great question. So let's say, for example, let's say a person misses Shacharis, and now they're going to daven two minchas. So you don't have to say any Psukah de Zimra because you say Ashrei. The reason why we say Ashrei is as an introduction to the tefillah. Ashrei by Mincha, we know everybody's busy in the middle of the day. We cannot say as much Psukah de Zimra as we say in the morning, but we have to say something. We introduce the tefillah by Mincha by saying Ashrei, which also sometimes people run into davening, Mincha, and they get there and they see everyone's up to Shemona Esrei, so you quickly run into the Mincha, forgetting that it's very important to introduce it with the Ashrei. Sometimes people are schmoozing during Ashrei. No, it's a very important part of the davening because that is like the Psukah de Zimra of Shacharis, is the Ashrei for Mincha. So this is, again, a very important thing to be aware of, and this is why we assume that women should prefer to say the Psuka de Zimra as best as they possibly can. Yeah. Yes. So that's a good question. Isn't the beginning of Shmona Esrei, when we say that the Ribono Shel Olam is Kel Elyon, he's the God of the universe, he's Konei Shamayim Ba'aretz, all the things that we say, he's Magen HaAvos, so that seems to be a praise of the Ribono Shel Olam, that is certainly true. But we assume that the more praise one gives, the more meaningful the tefillah is. So again, if one is strapped for time and the only thing you can do is say Shmona Esrei, so Shmona Esrei is good enough because Shmona Esrei is all-encompassing. It has a Shevach in the beginning, it has a Bakasha in the middle, and it has Hodah in the very end of Shmona Esrei. We say Modim and all the other things. However, to make it a more meaningful tefillah, we assume Psuki de Zimra is something that should be recited. When the Shulchan Aruch describes what exactly is supposed to be done when we say Psuki de Zimra, look at the bottom of the page, number Zayin. Look how the way the Shulchan Aruch says Psuki de Zimra is supposed to be looked upon. Ein omrim Psuki de Zimra b'merutze. Psuki de Zimra should not be said quickly, he says. Kiim b'nachas. Psuki de Zimra should be said slowly. Dehainu, what does it mean? Shelo yedalek shum teva v'lo yavliyam. A person should not skip over words. You shouldn't do that. Ela yotzi mipiv ki ilu mo nemos. The same way when we count money in our wallet, we don't do it quickly and skip over the $100 bill. We make sure to look for it carefully. They once asked Reb Chaim Soloveitchik, why you daven Psuki de Zimra so fast? He said, well, that's the way I count my money. I don't care. So I think most of us who are not like Reb Chaim do care a little bit more about our money, so we are a little bit more careful and conscientious when we daven. I'm sorry, when we count our money. Therefore, the Shulchan Aruch says that's the example that he gives, because that's very practical for all of us. This is something that we relate to. V'tzarech ledatek, he says, you have to be careful v'litein revach bein ha'osios, to leave room between the letters, not to swallow them up. Kemosh v'tzarech ledatek bekach b'kriya shema, the same way that a person is careful to say every word of kriya shema. So this is something that is important. In fact, the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, which is written by the Baal HaTanya, writes that in his opinion, what's the bare minimum amount of time that a person needs to recite Psuka de Zimra every day? You're not going to believe this. What's the bare minimum amount of time that the Baal HaTanya assumed is the bare minimum necessary to say Psuka de Zimra with every word being recited? My father even told me once, I haven't seen it in print, but he told me that he heard once that the Baal HaTanya said, anyone who does anything less than this amount of time is not welcome to say good yontif to him and get his bracha on yontif. Not my father. This was the Baal HaTanya saying that. So what do you think the bare minimum amount of time that the Baal HaTanya assumed you can get away with Psuka de Zimra? 30 minutes. 30 minutes Psuka de Zimra is the bare minimum that the Baal HaTanya felt a person should spend. Again, I think that's a little bit... So I think it's something that's probably difficult for many of us or most of us, but the only reason I quote it is because it just gives us a perspective a little bit about how seriously Psuka de Zimra should be viewed. It's something that's the introductory paragraph to the Shmona Esrei. It's something that we should take very seriously. It's part of davening that we assume is perhaps even more important than Kriya Shema, because Kriya Shema is a mitzvah saseh as my grandma. Women are not obligated to say that. Women are obligated to say Psuka de Zimra, so it's something we should say. Again, which parts of Psuka de Zimra we need to say doesn't mean you have to say every paragraph. Obviously, if a woman has time, you should say the whole Psuka de Zimra, but if a woman is rushed, the bare minimum amount to say is Baruch Sha'amar Yishtabach. If you have a little bit more time, you should say Ashrei as well, and then you add in other halalukas. We can talk about that privately. What? No. So, again, if a person is rushed, I'm going to get to your question in a minute. If a person is rushed, you should say Baruch Sha'amar Yishtabach is the bare minimum. But obviously, Psuka de Zimra, we should try and make time for it. We shouldn't just laugh it off and say, oh, it's not important, it's just the beginning of davening, it's not something we should pay attention to. It is something we should pay attention to, because it makes our tefillah all the more meaningful. Yes?
No, the question is, when a person comes late to
tefillah, then it's more important to say all the production of the tefillah and not join the kahal? No. So we assume that tefillah b'tzibur is more important than... You can't up to where they're up to.
You have to say it after?
Yeah, so the Shulchan Aruch says you're supposed to say the Psuka de Zimra after, but you don't say Baruch Sha'amar and Yishtabach. Now, you're raising a good point. There are a lot of women who come to shul on Shabbos who don't generally come to shul during the week. So on Shabbos, the Psuka de Zimra is much longer than it is during the week. So what should I prefer in the Shabbos Psuka de Zimra? If I only have a limited amount of time, what should I prefer in the Shabbos Psuka de Zimra? I would say that Shabbos, you're supposed to say Baruch Sha'amar Ashrei Yishtabach the same way you say during the week. But one of the most important parts to say on Shabbos is Nishmas. Nishmas, the Gemara says in Brachos, Imsachim is called a Birchas Hashir. That's the hallmark of the Psukah de Zimra on Shabbos, and therefore we assume that Nishmas takes precedence to many of the other Halalukas. So Nishmas is something we should pay attention to on Shabbos, because if we're trying to say Psukah de Zimra, Nishmas is one of the centerpieces of Psukah de Zimra on Shabbos. Yeah?
If you miss Psukah de Zimra, Ashrei cannot be the introduction to the Tefillah, like it is at Mincha?
Ashrei is a part of Psukah de Zimra. Ashrei is something, obviously, is a part of Psukah de Zimra. That would be good, but it would be preferable to say Baruch Shamar Nishabach and leave Ashrei out. If you have extra time, Ashrei is wonderful. Ashrei is great. The Gemara says, Kala Omer Te'ilu LeDavid B'chol Yom. Anyone who says Ashrei every day is considered a Ben Olam Haba. Why that's the case is a good question. Sounds like a very easy way to get into Olam Haba, but that's what the Gemara says. If you say Ashrei every day, what? If you say Ashrei every day, then you have a special place in Olam Haba. It's a very important thing. Yes. Berachos HaShachar? Yes, so that's what we're getting to. So hold on to the question about brachos. Look, we can't discuss everything in one shiur. We're going to try as best as we can. Yeah.
So what status does Brit HaTzar have when we come late? And I see them davening when there's Brit HaTzar. Isn't that like the pinnacle of the whole?
I don't think so. I don't think women have an obligation to daven Kriyas HaTzar. I asked my father recently, there was someone who said they come in late to shul, and they're catching up in the middle of Kriyas HaTorah, because they get there usually at the beginning of Kriyas HaTorah. She has young children, she brings them to the groups, whatever it is. So my father said that he doesn't feel that the woman should listen to the Kriyas HaTorah and miss out on the davening. She should daven during Kriyas HaTorah. Again, you have to be careful not to disturb others.
I've heard just the opposite.
That what?
I've heard just the opposite.
That women should listen?
That women should listen to Kriyas HaTorah and show respect and not stand during Kriyas HaTorah.
Oh, so that's a question. If it's disrespectful and it's not fair to those next to you that you're going to be standing and sitting and making noise in the middle while other people are trying to pay attention, it's one thing. But if you're in a position in the shul where you're not going to be a disturbance to other people and it's not going to be disrespectful at all, my father felt that it was better to daven. Again, let's say you're catching up on Psukah de Zimra. So you're just sitting in your seat saying Psukah de Zimra. You're not disturbing anyone. So perhaps that would be a better thing to do than to listen to Kriyas HaTorah. I think so, yeah.
That's a congregational, a seaboard kind of thing.
Correct.
So, therefore, it seems to me it would be disrespectful to them to stand up davening something else, even if it's not disturbing somebody.
Again, we're talking here about priorities. We're not talking about, you know, what, again, the best thing to do is to come to shul on time and to daven the whole thing. That's very impractical for most people. Again, I understand it's impractical for most people, and therefore we assume we're talking about which part of tefillah takes priority. If a woman is only going to have a limited amount of time to daven, let's say you get to shul by Kriyas HaTorah, your family is going to be out by the time musaf is over, your kids are going to be running after you, your husband's going to be ready to go home, you're not going to be able to sit there and finish off the rest of davening.
But what does limited time mean for her? She doesn't have to be there with the seaboard. She has chosen to come. She could be doing that at home.
But she didn't.
But she didn't, right.
So that's what we're talking. We're talking about priorities. When you only have a limited amount of time because in the morning she was busy doing whatever she was doing, taking care of things in the house, taking care of the kids, getting them out, getting ready for groups or whatever it might be. Now she finally carves out time to daven. She comes to shul. By the time she gets to shul, they're up to Kriyas HaTorah. Now that you only have 25, 30 minutes to daven, what should I say? That's the question.
But then she chose to come to shul. So then her purpose was to be with Zibor. She could have chosen to stay home and daven at that point.
There's obviously a mila to a person davening in shul more so than at home. So she wants to daven in the shul.
She wants to be there with the tzibur, so she should be there where the tzibur is up to.
Okay, but if she's not obligated in Kriyas HaTorah and she is obligated in Shacharis, she should not forego the obligation of Shacharis for the obligation of Kriyas HaTorah. It's a question of priorities. Again, if a person can come on time, come on time. But if we're talking about a case where someone cannot come on time and we're trying to figure out what takes precedence, that would certainly take precedence. Davening over Kriyas HaTorah certainly takes precedence. Yeah. Why not?
I don't know. I have to do. No, really. Women are not part of the tefillah.
I think women are absolutely part of the tzibur for the tefillah.
So should they be part of the tefillah?
Yeah, that's considered tefillah b'tzibur. If a woman has an opportunity to daven together with the tzibur, she should. And for that matter, it's important to note the Gemara says there are two versions of what it means tefillah b'tzibur. Tefillah b'tzibur on its most pristine level means coming to shul and davening along with the tzibur. But the second level, because that's impractical for probably most women to come to shul every day and be there along with the tzibur, The second form of tefillah b'tzibur, which is also very meaningful, the Gemara says, is if a person davens b'shal shehatzibur mispalalim, if you daven at the same time that the tzibur davens, not just arbitrarily. Now here in our community it's very easy, because we have minyanim every 20 minutes, so every 30 minutes, so anytime you daven, you're basically at the same time that a tzibur is davening. So you lose the tefillah b'tzibur by not being in shul. Again, the best case scenario is to come to shul and daven with the tzibur. Second best thing to do is to daven at least at the same time as the tzibur is davening, and not just to decide haphazardly when you're going to daven based on your own considerations. It makes sense to daven along with the tzibur. We assume those tefillos are going to be more successfully answered and listened to because you have the tzibur behind you, because you have a number of people davening at the same time, so those tefillos all go up together. Like we say in the end of davening, shomea tefillah. So the Medrash says, why do we say shomea tefillah? We offer many, many tefillos. We have many people davening. We should say shomea tefillos. God is the one who listens to all of our collective tefillos. The answer is, says the Medrash, the Malach comes and takes all of the tefillos together and presents them as one tefillah. The Ribbono Shel Olam is the Shomea Tefillah, the one tefillah that was collected from the whole community. That's what the Ribbono Shel Olam is going to listen to. So it's important for us to try to identify ourselves with the tefillah of the tzibur. Even if we're not able to make it in shul, we should try to daven along at the time that the tzibur is davening. Now, yeah?
Mm-hmm. The cousin is faster than I am. Mm-hmm. Completes it, starts.
Right.
What do I do?
So thank you. This is what happens to me every single day. I've come to the Young Israel of Woodmere. I don't think I've made Kedusha once. Not once since I've come here. Again, it's not an indictment on anyone else. People obviously can say the words quicker than I can. So I have a problem. I daven Shmona Esrei every single day. They get up to Kedusha. Shacharis and Mincha, I have never made it. What I try to do is I go to the second minyan. Either I go to a minyan earlier or I go to a minyan later to try to catch the Kedusha that I missed. So I have to go running around to three minyanim every morning to try to get different parts of davening. But for most people who don't have that opportunity to go running around to minyanim, what are you supposed to do? So the Shulchan Aruch says if you're in the middle of davening Shmona Esrei and you hear the Chazan say either Kedusha or Barchu or Kaddish, parts of Kaddish, Yehi Shmei Rabbah, so in a case like that, the Shulchan Aruch says, Shomea v'shosek, you are quiet, you don't say any words then, you listen to the Chazan's repetition of the Kedusha, or the Chazan's recitation of the Baruch Hu, and that counts as if you've said it. So you'll ask, if it counts as if I've said it, isn't that like a hefsek in the middle of Shemana Esrei? How am I allowed to say Baruch Hu Hashem in the middle of Shemana Esrei? That's a complicated issue to figure out why we assume that it works, but at the same time, it's not going to be an interruption in the middle of Shemana Esrei, but that's what a person is supposed to do. Come to shul late, or you come to shul on time, and they just somehow get ahead of you. So, always. I'm very glad that there are others who share the sentiment. What? Yeah. I think a lot of parts of davening are not in line with exactly what the Shulchan Aruch HaRav writes, the 30 minutes for Psukah Dezimra. You know, you come here, or many shuls, 30 minutes is the whole davening. Right? On a Monday and Thursday with Laining and Tachnun. So, you know, it's a little bit difficult. So, again, this whole shiur is a question of priorities. A woman who has time, a woman who's not busy, again, everybody's busy with everything. A woman who's not busy taking care of her children or of very important needs should make time every day to daven the whole davening. To daven the whole davening. There's no reason why not. We Ashkenazim believe that women are obligated in Shacharis and Mincha. There's no reason why we shouldn't. Again, if a woman is busy doing very important things, so she's not. So let's get into our next point, where the Chafetz Chaim's son writes about his own mother. Chafetz Chaim had a son by the name of Rab Aryeh. If I'm not mistaken, I think he was killed al Kiddush Hashem at a very young age. I think so. So Rab Aryeh wrote about his mother. He says, Imi Zatzal, my mother, the wife of the Chafetz Chaim, kimat velo hispalala, she kimat basically never daven shachris, calls man shelo yatzanu mitachas yadeha. When we were young children and she was being mitapel with us, she was taking care of us, she never davened. And I put her up to it, the son says. And I asked her, what's the story? I see every morning you wake up with us, you make us the pancakes, you make us breakfast. What's going on? How come you don't daven? And she said back to him, but Amrali, she responded, ki avi patramizeh, my father, who is his father? The Chafetz Chaim. Chafetz Chaim said, she's not obligated to do so, mishum shehio sekes begidol bana, because she's taking care of her children. And therefore the Chafetz Chaim told his wife, all those years when you're tending to your children, don't daven shachris. Daven shachris, it's your primary obligation. It's more important than davening. Yes, you might have an obligation to daven, but when we're talking about priorities, and when we're talking about either raising your children and making sure they are taken care of, or carving out time to daven, it's more important to raise our children than to carve out time to daven. That's what the Chafetz Chaim's wife actually did, and his son actually said that his mother, all the years that she was raising them, did not find the time to daven. Did not find the time to daven, and the Chafetz Chaim had no problem with that at all. The Chazon Ish even takes it a little further, and he says, even if you'll say a woman could carve out a few minutes when everything's calm, everything's quiet, I don't know how that's possible in my house. My wife even goes to the ladies' room for a minute. The kids are, you know, what happened? Where's mommy? I said, she's allowed to have 3 minutes on her own. It's not. So again, I guess some families it's not that way. Some families it is. But the Chazon Ish writes, even if a woman is able to carve out a few minutes of private time for herself, he says, if her mind is going to be wandering all over the place and she's worrying about the carpools and the pickups and the lunches and the suppers and everything that she has to do, and her mind is not going to be focused on the davening, says the Chazon Ish, you haven't gained anything by davening a Shemoneh Esrei where your mind is in 100 different places. Again, we don't blame the woman for having her mind in a different place because she has a lot of things to take care of and a lot of things to be on top of. But says the Chazon Ish, if a woman finds herself in that kind of scenario, in that kind of predicament, if it's you're worrying about silliness, you're worrying about things that are not important, you're worrying about what people say about you on Facebook, okay, so that's not a reason not to daven. But if we're talking about someone who's worried about things that really are of great import in life and things that do need to be taken care of and you cannot focus your attention, even if you have a few private moments, says the Chazon Ish, there's no reason to daven because davening requires kavana. If a person cannot have kavana, then the davening is not going to be meaningful. So Rabbi Yashiv writes in a tshuva as follows. Number tes. This is in the first volume of his tshuvas where he was asked, Ma hanashim chayavas lehispalo kol yom en adin. Let's figure out, bottom line, what do women have to say every day if they have time to daven? So he says, Birchas HaTorah, number one, a woman has an obligation to say Birchas HaTorah. Why she has an obligation to say Birchas HaTorah, even though she's not really obligated in Talmud Torah, that's a question in and of itself. But we assume that women are obligated in Birchas HaTorah. Birchas HaShachar, a woman is supposed to say all the brachas in the morning, which relates to the question you asked. Parshas HaTamid, which is a part of Karbanos, which women last night asked that next week we elaborate a little bit more about Karbanos and what the story is with that. There were two requests. All the shiurim so far have been on request. What people have asked for, that's what we're talking about. So tomorrow, I'm sorry, last night, they asked that we speak next week about two issues. One is Karbanos. What's the story with that? And are women obligated? And which parts take priority? And secondly, one woman wanted to know, and then once she mentioned it, a few others thought it was of interest as well. If she has time to daven Maariv and she takes upon herself that she's going to try her best, and then things come up every so often and she's not able to, does she need a Hataras Nadarim? That's a really good question. That is a really good question that's relevant to many other things as well. And in fact, there was a woman at the shiur last night who said that she's busy all day with her kids and her job and her things, and she doesn't have time to daven Shachris or Mincha. She only has time at night after she puts her kids to bed. At 9 o'clock at night, she's able to daven Maariv. Should I only daven Maariv and nothing else? The answer is yes. Why not? You have an opportunity to daven. That's when you're able to have kavana. That's when you're able to pay attention. You certainly should daven Maariv, but then there are some times when she falls asleep on the couch and she's not able to. Or she, whatever happens, she's just so overtired and exhausted and not able to concentrate. She wanted to know, is a Hataras Nedarim necessary for that? That is a really good question, and that we'll get to next week. Any other requests for the series on Hilchos Tefillah? We've been going for a long time, but hopefully we're getting closer to a greater understanding of what Tefillah is supposed to be and what we're supposed to say. So let's just hold to the questions for a minute. Says Rabbi Yashiv, you should say Birchas HaTorah, Birchas HaShachar, Parshas HaTamid. We'll get to Karbanos next week. Baruch Sha'amar. The bare minimum of Psukei Dezimra is Baruch Sha'amar Ashrei Yishtabach. Again, if you don't have time for all of that, then Baruch Sha'amar Yishtabach takes precedence. Ashrei could be left out. Parsha Shema, notice, what did he leave out? Birchos Kriya Shema. He left out Birchos Kriya Shema because women are not obligated in Birchos Kriya Shema. So he writes, Parshas Shema, women have an obligation to say Kriya Shema. Emes v'yatzev ad gal Yisrael, because we assume you're supposed to say Geula l'tfila, you're supposed to talk about Yis Yamsev and Yis Mitzrayim close to the Shemoneh Esrei, therefore you should say Kriya Shema and the paragraphs that lead up to the Shemoneh Esrei. Then he's supposed to say Shemoneh Esrei, Tfilas Mincha, he writes, a person should make time to daven Mincha, and Tfilas Arvis, Enimuchu Yavis, he says, in my opinion, woman doesn't have to go too far out of her way from Maariv, that's negotiable, as we said before, but the other things he says are what he thinks are the bare minimum that a woman should try to make time to say every single day. Now again, this is for Ashkenazi women. For a Sephardi, it might be very different. They paskin like the Shulchan Aruch, like the Rambam, where all they have to do is offer one tefillah a day, any variation, any formulation, any time of the day, so that's all they need to do, and that's good enough. As long as that tefillah incorporates some kind of shvach, bakasha, and hodah, that would suffice, that would be good enough. And that's why my father told me, Rabbi Avadya Yosef felt very strongly when his daughter, Adina Bar Shalom, when she went to school, so there were no there were no Sephardi schools at the time, so they had to send her to Beis Yaakov, which was predominantly run by Ashkenazim. So Rabbi Avadia waged a big war against the Ashkenazi Beis Yaakovs when his daughter was in the school, because he said, here they are, they make my daughter daven every day, and they make her daven the whole davening. So he said, that's all nice, it's all wonderful, it's all great. There's no reason why women shouldn't volunteer to daven if she has a chance. However, Rabbi Avadia was of the opinion that Psukei d'Zimra, meaning the brachas part of Psukei d'Zimra, which is Baruch She'amar and Yishtabach, is a bracha levatala for a Sephardi to say. Why? Why? Because for a Sephardi, said Rabbi Avadia, the Sephardim are of the opinion when a woman is not obligated, let's say, to shake lulav, so the woman, in the opinion of the Sephardim, is not only not obligated to shake the lulav, but she's not allowed to recite a bracha even if she chooses to shake the lulav. That's the opinion of the Sephardim, that's what they do. Ashkenazim have adopted the opinion of the other Rishonim that if a woman chooses to volunteer to do a mitzvah, she should do it like everybody else. She should make the bracha, but the Sephardim believe that would constitute a bracha levatala for her to make the bracha. So here also, Rav Avadia argued, how can you force my daughter to say Psukei d'Zimra with the Baruch She'amar and the Yishtabach? You're making her make a bracha levatala. And he wrote a tshuva, an attack against the Beis Yaakovs, and they changed the rule. They said, if we have a Sephardi in the class, she can do it her way. But basically, for Ashkenazim, we assume Psukei d'Zimra is an integral part of the Shemona Esrei, and therefore, Psukei d'Zimra is something we should make time to do. Rav Shach weighed in on the issue as well. Rav Shach, the famous Rosh Yeshiva of the Panavizhi Yeshiva. Rav Shach writes over here, Imrak Tagid HaBrachas, says Rav Shach, if a woman will say Brachas, Baruch She'amar, Ashrei Yishtabach, V'achar Kach HaBrachas, Kriya Shema, Ushmona Esrei. L'zein Tzarech Zman Rab, says Rav Shach. How much time do you need? 15 minutes? Now, most women don't have 15 minutes in the morning. Or, most women have more than 15 minutes in the morning. Again, for a mother of young children, it's very hard to find 15 quiet minutes where your mind is going to be focused on davening. Again, this is Rav Shach speaking. He wasn't a woman. I don't mean that in any disrespect, but, you know, he was imagining 15 minutes doesn't have time for that. He says, even if she's busy with the children, she should have time to make 15 minutes. Now again, in Bnei Brak and Yerushalayim, I don't know if you've ever noticed, but you have the 5-year-olds walking the 3-year-olds on the street, and they're all taking care of each other. So maybe that's why the Bnei Brak women had 15 minutes to spare. Most of our women at 5 years old have to watch their own children, and they're not mature enough to be out on their own and taking care of the younger kids in the family. So maybe this is a little bit different. And then he says, Mincha, how much time do you need to daven Mincha? 5 minutes for a Shemona Esrei and an Ashrei. 5 minutes, he doesn't understand why a woman can't find 5 minutes during the day to daven Ashrei with Shemona Esrei in order to fulfill the obligation of Mincha. Again, all of this is what a person is supposed to do if they have the opportunity to do so, and if they're able to have Kavana to concentrate on the davening as they're doing that. Obviously, if you're in a situation where you cannot do so, where you cannot have Kavana, where a person cannot find the time, not because we're busy in the gym or because we're busy with a million other things, but because we're busy with important things, that's a reason why one might be exempt from tefillah. If we're busy with things that are just taking care of our own needs or mundane activities, that's something that tefillah obviously should take a precedence to that. I just want to close. We'll take the questions after because I want to try to end as close to on time as possible. So I just want to close with a comment that was made last week. There were many in the Shir who made a comment that, actually it was 2 weeks ago when we first mentioned about women not having time to daven all the time, and sometimes they go a whole day, a whole week without really finding the opportunity to daven. So there was a woman who sent me an email that it was very upsetting to her, because she felt that if you're saying that tefillah is the opportunity for a person to have a relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam, it's a way for a person to have some sort of connection, so you're right, I'm taking care of my children and I'm busy, but what does that mean for me? Where does that leave me? So you're telling me I'm not obligated to daven because I'm busy doing better things, but what's my connection now? What am I supposed to be feeling? And I think it's a very valid argument. I think it's a very important point. And that's why I think it's worth it to have a look at the last entry that we have here. In the beginning of Psukei d'Zimra every day, we recite a pasuk which says, Yismach lev mevakshe Hashem. That's the very opening line of the Psukei d'Zimra every day. Yismach lev mevakshe Hashem. So here the Chafetz Chaim gives a beautiful mashal. Chafetz Chaim generally is known for his Mishneh Brura, for his Shmiras HaLashon. The Chafetz Chaim's Mishalim are so golden. They're so amazing. He has a Sefer on Chumash which has so many Mishalim, and they're so on point. They're so beautiful. And they really resonate, I guess, with me. I hope it would resonate with others as well. But here the Chafetz Chaim is trying to explain what does it mean when we introduce our tefillah every day, the Psukei d'Zimra, and we say, Yismach lev mevakshe Hashem. Let's read it together. What does it mean? What does it mean when we say Mevakshe Hashem? We should be happy and proud that there are people who seek out the Ribbono Shel Olam. What does it mean you seek him out? Where are you looking for him? At what juncture in your day do you actually try to find him? Says the Chafetz Chaim as follows. Al derech hamashal. Reuven and Shimon huskima b'neim l'shtadech. Reuven and Shimon decide, you have a son, I have a daughter. We're going to make a shidduch. One and our children get married. V'kavu, and they make up amongst themselves. Ki kalechen mehem yashlish schum shel shloshes alafim zehuvim al tarech mesuyam. They decide, look, the couple doesn't have any money. They don't have a profession yet. We have to put up some money in order to make sure they'll be able to live. So he says, you're going to give $3,000, I'm going to give $3,000. Back in those days, that was a big amount of money. And that would last the couple for a long time. If we have the money by January 1st, then we'll be able to make the shidduch, we'll be able to have them get engaged to each other, we'll write the tanaim, and then we'll plan a wedding. Kasher igia hazman hamiyuad, when it comes time for the January 1st, when they made up amongst themselves that they're going to have the engagement, Reuven adayin lo hishlish hasaschum. Reuven is still not able to come up with the money. Shalach lo Shimon lo hodio. So Shimon sends him a note and he says, Kvar igia hazman. Are you unaware of the fact that it's January 1st? It's time for us to have the shidduch. Gam b'moed hasheni. I'm sorry. Ach Reuven hodia lo. Reuven lets him know. Ki adayin lo ala biyado lachanas hakesev. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to borrow the money from anyone. My job is not doing so well. I couldn't come up with the money yet. Would you mind if we just deferred a little bit? How about we'll have the engagement February 1st, March 1st? He keeps deferring a little bit more. Gam b'moed hasheni. February 1st comes and March 1st comes. Lo tzliach Reuven lahasig es haschum hadarush. He's not able to come up with the money. Libas sof in the end, a few months go by, they try to do it. Hodia l'shimon, he lets his friend know, ki ein be'ev sharusa lahasig es hakesef. Look, I can't come up with the money. Parnas is not doing so well. I can't find anyone to lend me anything. Okay. Can we turn off all cell phones just for the last few minutes? Thank you. He says, look, I couldn't come up with the money, but how about let our children just get engaged? We'll figure it out. We'll figure it out, right? Like a lot of people say nowadays. How it's going to work, we'll figure it out. So, Shimon says, not a good idea. It's irresponsible, the same way it was irresponsible then, it's irresponsible today as well. Shimon Sirev, he says, not a good idea. Bitel asa shidduch, he says, look, I love you, I think you have a wonderful child, but it's not going to work. What are we going to do? What do you mean they're going to get married and we'll figure it out? We can't just figure it out. We have to figure it out now before they get married. Uliyamim hishtalichim levi, so he moves on with life, and his child gets married to a different family. La'achar zman, after a while, nolad lezug hatzair ben. This new couple has a child. Shalach Shimon as Shamash Beis HaKnesses, Lahazmin LeBrismila as Kal Mekurava VeKrova Mechutano. He sends out invitations to all the people who he's closely related to. Amar Lo HaShamash, so the one who's delivering the invitation says, Ulai Yazmin Mar Gamas Reuven, maybe you should also invite this person, Shekimat Benasa Mechutano. You were so close to being his Mechutin. In the end, technically, practically, it didn't work out, but look, you were negotiating about the shidduch, you were planning a wedding together, you were very excited. In the end, he didn't come up with the money. He couldn't be your mechutin, but you became closer to him. He is somewhat, almost a relative of yours. Hey, Shivo Shimon, he says, Lo hayisi mazmin es kol eila sheyecholim hayulios mechutanim imi. If I would go around and invite every person who wanted or could have been a mechutin of mine, eila dover sof, what's going to be? It's going to be no end. Everybody wanted to marry my child. Shekein Asher Ani v'Rabim Ratzu L'shtadech Imi. Amar Lo HaShamash, so the person says back to him, no. Shona Reuven Mikol Achim. Yes, a lot of people wanted to marry your child, but this person is a little bit different. This person was right there. He almost married your child. They're not the same as everybody else. They have much more of a relationship with you than many others. Go to the next paragraph. Ulam Lo Kach Darko Shel Abor Yisbarach Shemo. This is not the way of our relationship with the Ribono Shel Olam. In Bikesha Adam Lasos Mitzvah, if a person with sincerity wants to perform a mitzvah, any mitzvah, I would love to be a millionaire that I can go and support all the causes that I think are very important. I don't have that opportunity. I don't have a job that pays me that much money that I can do that. Does that mean I have less of a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu than somebody who is able to do that? Is that possible? But I want to. I want to give tzedakah like that in those proportions, and I can't. Does that mean God loves me less? Does that mean I'm not as deeply connected with Him as others might be? Kilomar, I want to do a mitzvah. Bikesh lehidavik bo yizbarach. I want to do a mitzvah because I want to be connected with Him. Uli hiskari b'lav, and I want to become close to Him. Elo shemachmas ones, lo ala hadavar biyado. But for whatever reason, it's not a possibility, either because I don't have an extra $1 million to give away to tzedakah, or because I'm a woman and I'm taking care of my children and I don't have the opportunity to daven everything in the morning that I would like to. Yes, I want to be close to you. Yes, I want to connect with you. I want to have a relationship, but I just don't have the time. I don't have the mind for it. So where does that leave us? We're like that mechutan who almost got married, who wanted to do it, but circumstances had it that he wasn't able to. Says the Chafetz Chaim, Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ro'ehu Ka'adam Zar. God does not look upon us who are not able to perform whatever mitzvah it is that we want to do. He doesn't look at us like outsiders. Ela Hareu Ki'ilu Niskarev V'Nisdabek Bo Yisbarach. The mere fact that we have an interest in wanting to be related and connected with Him, the fact that we want to perform His mitzvahs and make a deeper relationship with Him, that's enough. Alpha Pisha Adayin Lo Asa Bepal, even though we have not yet actually done anything to make that to make that into a reality, to make it real, to actualize that feeling that we have of wanting to be connected to Him, of wanting to give the tzedakah. Right now I can't give it, but God says, you're close enough to me the same way like somebody who did give it. Go to the next paragraph. V'zeu she'omer ha'kasuv, this is what it means. We start off Psukei Dezimra every day and we say, Yismach Lev, you know why we have a right to be happy? You know what should be a gratifying feeling for us? Mivakshei Hashem. The fact that we just have that bikush, that want, that desire to be close to the Ribbono Shel Olam, because that's good enough. That's good enough. Osam b'nei Adam, those people, afshehem rak begeder mivakshim es Hashem, even though many of us in so many areas of our lives, and tefillah is just one example, but in so many other areas of our lives, we are just mivakshim es Hashem, we are just people who want to have a deeper connection and relationship, but we aren't able to do that. Kvar ru'uyim hem sheyismach libam, we already have the justification to be happy. Ki HaKadosh Baruch Hu rotza b'hem uvikirbasam, because God wants that connection with us, even if we cannot actualize it. Umala aleim ki'ilu kvar hayu krovim elav mamish mechutanim shalo kavayachal. God looks at it as if we are already an inner part of His family, an inner part of the circle. We're not outsiders. We don't say because we didn't come up with the money that we wanted, therefore it means that we're not connected. Rather, what we say is, as long as one is a mevakesh es Hashem, as long as one is a person who always has in mind that I want to be deeply connected with Him, I want to have some sort of relationship, I want that the Ribbono Shel Olam should actually mean something to me, that's good enough. And that's a tremendously gratifying feeling, that Yismach Lev, we have every right in the world, every justification to be happy, just simply because of the fact that mevakshei Hashem is enough. To have the bikush of having that relationship is more than enough for us, and it's all the Ribbono Shel Olam asks for, it's all that He looks forward to. So